As Hard as a Stone by Same Scenes. Read by Ben to the Sun. Fandom Merlin. I'm afraid to die, she says. She lies on the ground, her hair spread out behind her like a dirty halo. A tear leaks from the corner of her eye, tracking down the side of her face. The stone she lies on is cold and unforgiving. I know, Merlin says. The scar across his throat is stark against his skin, a thin line where no stubble grows. His magic gathers at his fingertips, and the skies darken. The door creaks, and Morgana sees dark hair. He comes to save his king. Still. I dream this, she says, a lifetime ago, yesterday. He says, then you know. She says, I do. Merlin says, I'm sorry. The druids attack Camelot within a month of Arthur's reign. The outer walls collapse almost instantly, and century-old bricks crumble into nothing more than dust. If she closes her eyes, she can see the blood of innocents staining the hills. The druids believe a pendragon must not sit on the throne. She holds a sword to Arthur's throat, close enough that the tip grazes his skin every time he swallows. Do you desire my death? Arthur says, his crown glinting in the weak morning light. No, Morgana says. Not yours. She attends Arthur's coronation. She remembers raising a dagger to his father, but she is neither disappointed nor relieved when she thinks about her failure to strike the blow. She simply knows it wasn't time. Thanks to magic far older than her own, Arthur's gaze passes over her, disinterested. She curtsies to the king, and he inclines his head. He sees coiffed blonde hair and an upturned nose, nothing more. I hear you have not yet named a court advisor, she says. She flutters her eyelashes. I have someone in mind, Arthur says shortly. He moves on to the next whimpering sycophant, leaving Morgana to let her eyes drift over to Gwen. She notes the absence of Merlin. My lady, she says, approaching where the queen sits on her throne, would you like me to pour you more wine? Oh no, Guinevere says. You don't have to wait on me. I mean, it's weird that people are sworn to obey me now, and it's not to say you shouldn't, you know, the hierarchy and all that, but I'm just not used to it, so... Morgana hears Arthur laugh from somewhere over her shoulder. She turns to see him smiling at Guinevere. Her breath catches. This, she thinks. This is what surprise feels like. Of all the things she was expecting, she wasn't expecting love. So no, I would not like any more wine, Guinevere finishes, blushing slightly. She smiles back at her husband. Mountains tremble when Merlin is expelled from Camelot. She laughs as the trees whisper among themselves. Emrys, they say, but she pays them. I think death haunts me, she tells the boy. He looks older than she remembers, but then the passing of time is nothing but a countdown to her now. Thank you for your shelter, she says. The boy doesn't speak, but she hears him anyway. For a week she wanders the halls like a ghost, thin and unsubstantial. Morgana, Merlin says. He's so earnest. Tell me what is wrong. His fingers wrap around her wrist, ignoring propriety out of some illusion of familiarity. Maybe he thinks they've formed a bond out of their frustration. Maybe he thinks they share a common goal. He's mistaken. She pulls the knife from her bodice. She presses it to his neck before he can blink, and she can feel the blood spill over his fingers, warm and pungent, before it shivers in her grasp and her fingers clench on nothing. The knife spins away, buried to the hilt in mortar. The cut is deep, but not fatally so. Morgana mourns. She leaves Merlin gasping, and she flees. Morgana wakes. Her chest is heaving. A scream catches in her throat, and for a moment she doesn't remember. She's confused for a second and wipes the cold sweat from her brow. The door creaks, and Morgana sees dark hair. Gwen peeks around the corner, a silver breakfast tray in her hands. "Oh, Gwen," she says. Her fingers clench in the sheets, and Gwen rushes to her side when she sees how pale her mistress's face has gone. She says, "I remember," she says. "Do you ever think on how you're going to die?" She says, "Sing me a lullaby." Her father combs her hair away from her face. Her tears have dampened the sleeve of his shirt, and he gathers her in his arms to tuck her into bed. "I'm afraid to sleep," she whispers, but he kisses her forehead. "Shush, child," he says. "They're just nightmares. I shall return by the time the moon is full again. You shall see." He sings her a lullaby. When she wakes, she does so as an orphan. The end.